Hi, everyone. It's Marnie Salop. Thanks for tuning into my podcast, Marnie on the Move. Each week, I will be inviting interesting, innovative movers and shakers to join me on the show and share their story. You will discover and hear from thought leaders, experts, influencers, and entrepreneurs from the worlds of wellness, sports, beauty, fitness, fashion, and more. Marnie on the Move will feature an eclectic mix of people I know, work with, and think are generally doing cool things. On each episode, I sync up with my guests about life, career, and training, and showcase their expertise and story.
There's a lot of things that are happening in this current social climate around the world that are just depressing and distressing and potentially can take us out of the game with apathy. But we're all in this together. If you're not well, then you're not going to be able to make a contribution. So we're trying to get people to see longitudinally, how do you be well so that you can be a good caretaker for those coming behind you?
That was Andia Winslow, and this is Marnie Salop. I'm your host. Thanks for tuning into my podcast, Marnie on the Move. I am super excited to introduce my next guest, good friend, professional athlete, voiceover artist, on-air host, and exercise and wellness advocate, Andia Winslow. Andia is a professional golfer, an elite athlete, a sports and conditioning coach, and so much more. Thank you so much for coming, Andia.
Thank you. I'm excited to be on your podcast, Marnie on the Move. What a title.
Thank you. I'm really excited to have you here today visiting from LA, and I know we have a very busy schedule. So thanks for dropping in.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Where did you begin with your athleticism and sport?
Sure. I would say to begin, I'm from Seattle, Washington, which is a very progressive and very conservationist type place. So we were outside. We were hiking and biking and kayaking and snowshoeing and doing all these fun things that involved nature and being outside. So I was active in a very natural way, just functional movement and moving about. It wasn't a regimented exercise per se to start. It was just being free in space and environments. And that's how I got started with my movement type personality. And then my parents put me in all kinds of educational and recreational programming in the summer. They had me in a camp that had me doing roving activities. We'd do tennis one day, we'd do pottery the next. And they had me in a golf program at Jefferson Park Golf Course, which actually is the home of Fred Couples, who was a PGA great. And something about the game, its inherent, you know, quietude and self-reliance. And then the fact that it was outside, I was like, oh man, sign me up. I want to do this every day. My parents are like, all right, kid, you found your thing. Now you got to be committed. We're going to get started. As long as you're committed and responsible, you can do it. And they made the investment in my equipment and I got help from the community to get me started. And that's how it all started.
How old were you?
10-ish, 11-ish when I started.
Yeah. And then you continued playing golf as a kid and all through college, mm-hmm. You went to Yale. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So I started playing golf. I was kind of a natural fit. I had really great hand-eye coordination. I was very attuned to detail, and golf requires that. It really kind of fit my personality at the time. I played at a very high level of junior golf, was ranked top 100 in the world. And then I was recruited for college, was recruited all over the country, decided to go back east to Yale because my parents really felt that academics were paramount to athletic endeavors. So I went back east and played college golf. And then a couple years after college golf, I decided I want golf back in my life in a more competitive way. I turned professional and then I competed on some mini tours, a couple tour events, and I started teaching and just seeing the game from all different sides, from the marketing side, from the professional development side, from working at golf courses, from being a caddy. And I really got to see and love the game in new ways.
So as a professional golfer, what's your training like? Like, what do you do day to day?
Sure. So there's a couple things. When I say professional golfer, I mean both touring and teaching. So it could be me teaching. Whenever you receive remuneration for your craft, that makes you professional. So in the professional golf sense. So when I was playing competitively, I would wake up very early. I lived in Arizona at the time that I turned pro. And in the summers there, it gets up to 120 in the summer, July, August. So it's very, very hot. So I'd be up at 4 a.m., be prepped to go practice and play and be done by 9:30. Because if you're not, well, then you're going to roast. And nobody wants that. It's a combination of technical practice on the golf course prior to playing on the golf course. So your chipping, your putting, your sand game, your wedges, your long game, technical work with your coach. And then after that, a couple hours, you then go onto the golf course, which could be anywhere from 2 to 5 hours, depending, working on actual shots and playing the game. So golf is, I guess, I think there's a misunderstanding about the game. There's what you do on the driving range and the practice areas, and that's what you do on the golf course. When you're on the driving range and practice areas, you want to focus on technique. When you get on the golf course, you want to play. But sometimes your brain won't allow you that release, and so you become too technical on the golf course, and that's why people find the game so frustrating, because they can't let go in order to be free on the course. They try to steer things, and golf requires complete release.
Do you have a set of exercises and stretches and training that you do that helps you and empowers you to be stronger and better on the golf course? And
yes, most definitely. So I think folks think golf and they think it's just a skill, and it is a skill. But as an athlete playing the game and honing my skill, I approach the game a little bit differently. Golf is a lot more like sprinting than not, for example. Your center of mass, your glutes, your hip flexors, the stronger those are, the stronger your golf swing will be, because a lot of what happens is based on torque, rotational spring effect, and actually being really solid on the bottom. So you are solid from hips down. You're very quiet in a sense on your backswing, and then your upper body turns about your quiet lower body. So the more strong your hamstrings are, the more strong your quads are, the more strong your glutes are, your hip flexors, the more stable your ankles, the more strong you can whip through it and come through at impact. And so me having strong glutes, me sprinting, that actually helped develop my golf game in ways that I would never have imagined prior.
So do you think that people as we know it that are playing golf recreationally are doing all these exercises, or do you think they should be doing
this? Heck yeah!
Do recreational golfers exercise or condition the way a professional golfer does to get on the course?
The answer is no. If they did, there'd be a lot less injury. There'd be a lot less stress to the body and the brain. In fact, a lot of recreational golfers come to me and they say, oh, my lower back is giving me problems. My elbows hurt. My hamstrings hurt. My hips hurt. They can help alleviate some of that if they warmed up properly. Yes, golf is a skill, but it's not a skill in the sense that you're hanging a painting. That's a skill. Or you're playing the piano where you might just need to warm up your neck and your shoulders and perhaps your fingers. Golf is total body coordination, which is it makes it a compound movement. Several parts of your body working simultaneously. You've got ground forces at play. You're applying pressure to the ground. Pressure is being applied through you. You're creating torque. You're moving through several planes of motion simultaneously. That requires proper warm-up, proper cool-down. And if you don't do it, you're not going to get the most out of your swing and out of your body.
So what are some things that our listeners, perhaps my uncle or
Lori's dad
can do? Like, I mean, obviously we can include this in the show notes. I can write out the descriptions of the exercises. And again, this is not like a tips and advice podcast, but I think it would be helpful to know if there are some core exercises.
Yes,
that might be helpful to golfers who are not thinking this way right now.
Golfers think this way. Listen up. You're going to start, repeat after me, by showing up to the golf course more than 3 minutes before your tee time. That's right. Show up and warm up. Some things they can do. They can stand tall, depress their feet in the ground and reach up to elongate their spine, and then forward fold and relax and hang down. They can put a club across their back while holding onto it, and they can turn, you know, so we need some rotation because you're warming up your spine to be in that very tight position, you know? So I would say that squats are a great way to warm up your hips. You know, anything you do to warm up your body for running, especially for sprinting, is great to transfer over to golf. So a lot of runners, you'll see them doing lunges slowly, walking lunges. You'll see them squatting. You see them doing leg swings. All those things can be done for golfers and will improve golfers' swings and improve their game over time as well. In terms of core work, planks are great because planks help you understand holding your body at same length. You can add rotational stuff for your obliques, which really don't get a lot of love, because when people think abs and core, they think, what can I see? 8-pack, 6-pack. But really your obliques are involved in the turn, right? And also hinging your body, right? And bringing your chest down towards your lower body. So I would say you can do something called Russian twists, where you're sitting on your butt and you keep your hips quiet and you turn your torso away from the quiet hips. So you go to the right and to the left across your body. Bicycles would be great. That's a very simple exercise. You can do rotational planks where you're sitting, you're on your hands in plank and you're reaching across your body. Any of those things that involve rotation will be great. Plate twists, you're standing with your feet about shoulder width apart. You put a plate in your hands and you twist one direction and the other. It's also called disassociation, where you keep your hips quiet. Anything that helps create the sensation of turning If you love cable machines, great. If you love medicine balls and you want to chop across your body high to low and low to high, great. Rotation is what we want to build in preparation for your golf swing real time.
Because when you're playing golf, you have to be quick and you have quick movements and going from
impact.
Standing still to moving.
Yes.
And you spend a lot of time walking or driving a golf car. Either way, it's a lot of like work on your lower back.
Yeah, a lot of work on your lower back. And that's why you want to attend to it prior to playing and post round as well, because you don't want that tension to be sitting there, especially if you then go from the weekend golf to sitting in a chair at your office, for example. You want to make sure that you're nice and open and diffuse.
How did you make that transition as an athlete?
Sure. Well, it actually started a little bit before New York. I was living in Florida and I was working at Disney World's golf facilities, Palm and Magnolia. And after I would go to work and work on the golf course, I would go over to the Disney Wide World of Sports. And there was a track. There was all these great athletic equipment and facilities, the top of the line, best in class. And there was a track out there. And I was running around the track and I saw this group of people who looked very, very fit, very, very serious, sexy, all those things. And I was like, who are they? And then one of the athletes invited me to come out the next day. And it turns out it was Brooks Johnson, who was Jesse Owens Olympic Hall of Fame coach, who was coaching some of the greats in track and field. And I was invited to join their training group. And it was an amazing experience. So here I was, a golfer by day and a sprinter and rabbit by night, training with some of the best athletes, world champions, Olympic champions. And it was a great experience. So that kind of got me into trying to understand and marry the worlds of sports, technique, science, and performance. And when I came to New York, I was able to turn that into a professional endeavor and become a trainer as well. So that was a really great experience.
When you moved to New York, you were doing coaching and golf coaching.
Yes.
And also sports and conditioning coaching.
Correct.
For athletes.
Yes, yes, yes. It's been quite a ride and I've seen some of the best coaching in the world from several coaches around the world and worked with very elite professional athletes down to folks who are just learning to walk or rewalk. It's been a really amazing experience. The running community here in New York is amazing. The golf community is strange because it's golf in New York City, but they're still amazing and I wouldn't give up those years for anything.
So where do you go in New York City to play golf?
New York City proper. Brooklyn's a borough of the city. There's two golf courses in Brooklyn that I've played quite frequently, Marine Park and Diker Beach. If you go up north towards the top of the train lines, the red line and the green line, I believe, you can go to Van Cortlandt Park and Mashalu. But playing golf in New York City is a journey. It's a whole day affair. You got to find out how you're going to get there. You got to carry your clubs up there. You got to rent a car if you want to go outside of the city. So it's not something that happens quite often. But there are a couple of facilities in the city proper that you can go to. Chelsea Piers being the most renowned golf entertainment facility in the tri-state area. I work there. So we're looking out at the Hudson River. And there's a couple other kind of body shops around town that offer golf services and simulators. But Chelsea Piers is where I worked and it was awesome.
Do you have a favorite course that you've played?
In my life?
Yes.
Oh, that's an unfair question, Marnie Salop.
Do you have three favorites?
I do have a favorite.
I don't want to make you choose.
I've got
I understand.
Well, so I grew up in Seattle, as I mentioned, and so I'm really partial to really green, evergreen landscapes with towering trees, and you can smell the canopy and the pine needles falling on the ground softly. And, you know, breeze of clean air coming from some great body of water and maybe a deer running across the fairway. I like that kind of stuff and mountains in the distance. So I would say one of my favorite courses of all time is Sahali, which is a famous golf course, a home of a PGA championship years ago. Vijay Singh won that tournament. And that course is just quintessential Pacific Northwest lifestyle. And it brings me great memories and I love it.
I know that you love being outside hiking and playing golf and being in nature.
Yes.
Is that sort of what took you back to LA?
You are correct. You're good.
I know we're kind of like all over the place, but I'm back and forth between golf and running.
Sure.
And now I want to talk about hiking. So
yes.
This is what you're doing now in LA. You've been leading these really awesome hikes in different areas. Can you like tell me a little bit more about that?
Yes. Okay. First of all, let's make hiking fit in here. I do not enjoy running on cement. It just doesn't work for my brain. It definitely doesn't work for my left knee. I just don't like the idea of cement and running and plodding along through the city streets of Manhattan. Now, I could have run several marathons, but why? It's cement and my knee doesn't like it and I don't like it. But a trail? oh yeah, sign me up. So one of the things I missed was being outside in nature and running. When I'm outside, first of all, you run, and at the end, your reward is a vista. You're looking out over the expanse of nature or a forest or looking down on an ocean. I mean, that to me is, that's life. And then the trails change. You always have to be proprioceptively engaged, and your core is firing, and, ooh, look, a bunny. Ooh, look, a mating tarantula. Oh, hey, there's a cool guy running with beautiful calves in front of you. And it's just, you know, you get all these senses, and that's what I like. That's what I like more than running on cement. So when I moved back west, I wanted to be closer to nature. And for me, quality of life involves being outside. The city is great. I learned a lot. I got a lot of great experiences here, but I miss being close to nature. I wanted nature to be accessible to me within a walking distance. And in LA, I have that. I have ocean, I have mountains, I have desert, I have it all, great burritos. I can run on a trail and then run down the trail to my favorite burrito spot. I mean,
yeah, we know, I know a lot about your burrito obsession.
But the hiking thing is a great way to get people from the city who don't experience nature in a typical day to experience the beauty and the bounty that's just close to them. A lot of folks that I take on hikes, my hikes are called straight tripping, hashtag straight tripping, no G at the end. We just get in the car, we carpool, and we go to a place that's nearby or maybe an hour and a half away. And folks are like, wow, this is free. It's free. It's amazing. And you just get this sense of, wow, I'm completely insignificant. And yet I want to share this experience with everyone because we're all connected, and you can kind of see how the world is interconnected and how the ecosystem depends on us and how we depend on the ecosystem. And it gives you this really grand view of the world and your place in the universe. And it's a really calming and wonderful thing. And I love to see people, especially folks who've never experience it for the first time. And those who it's become a habit, I love to enjoy the space with them. There's something called forest bathing where you remove yourself from cityscape and take yourself into naturescape. And it's supposed to calm your body and mind and spirit. And I love it.
That's so amazing and wonderful. And something that I have not experienced living here in New York City.
When you come to LA, we're going hiking or trail running. You like to run. So we
trail running. Yeah, trail running. We went trail running in Montauk this summer. And then there was some trail running in a recent triathlon I did.
Nice.
And I need to do more conditioning and training for that because I feel like I'm two steps away from like twisting my ankle at any given point.
This is where ankle mobility comes in. And this is how we get back to golf. The more mobile your ankles, the better you'll be able to put your foot in strange situations and the way you'll be able to recover. Even in New York City, the better your ankle mobility, the better you'll be able to jump off that curb and avoid that taxi and avoid that pedestrian. It all is part of the kinetic chain, baby.
What you also do well, which we haven't really talked about, is the custom sort of unique classes that you create for different brands, but also you created some for yourself, which have gone viral. Like the playground workout that you did, the subway workout. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
So I've kind of changed my roles a little bit now. Now I do a lot of consulting for brands and programming. So I build programs for brands. I'm the voice of a couple programs. And I also consult for athletes who are looking to build major programs. So I may not be 1 hour in, 1 hour out in the gym as I was before, but I think that I have a bigger scale and scope now. Later today, we're heading over to Health Magazine to do a workout live on their Facebook page.
Facebook Live, yeah.
So it's going to be great. And we're going to be able to get people to follow along at home and find some moves that are going to help embolden them throughout their days. It's been really fun to see the entire spectrum of training as a professional. I enjoy being with an individual just as much as I enjoy being with a large event of, you know, 300 people. There are different variables at stake, but it's still the end. You're conveying messaging and your storytelling. You're telling the story of how do we prime your body for the best type of performance. You're telling stories of how do we avoid injury? How do we recover after exercise? And that story is what you hope your clients will take away and be able to celebrate and retell in the future. My best friend and I, Monique, we created a system called the Fit Cycle, which is a cinematic wellness endeavor. So it was talking about fitness in a non-traditional way to grab the eye of folks who felt like they were on the margins or that exercise was too cool for them or they didn't have the capital or the resources to be involved in this fitness lifestyle. We created little vignettes, little movies that showed how you can be active in your own daily life, whether that be at the laundromat with your detergent bottle, whether that be in the park with your kids or the subway en route to work or to school. How do you find interstitial moments of the day to be well? And so we created these films that were well received and really, I think, broke down the barriers for entry for a lot of folks who didn't think they had what it took, the resources it took to be well. And that was a great, great thing. And then building things for brands, that's been fun too, because you've got these big live events or celebratory events and you want to get a large group of people moving, or you want to get people moving around a certain campaign that's inspired by, let's say, language. Under Armour had a great campaign a couple of years ago that we worked on. And that was fun because you're trying to encourage women to be more active in their spaces and their communities. And so I will what I want. I will what I want. And it's all based on movement and body and community. And so that was a fun one. We've done work for Athleta, for Sweaty Betty, for Nike, for Adidas. It's been a lot of fun. And REI, Force of Nature, which is the newest campaign that helps involve women in the outdoors and women decision makers and key opinion leaders in helping create content, apparel, and opportunities for women to be safe and leading voices in the outdoors.
And so as a fitness and wellness advocate, you operate from the standpoint and your philosophy is that you can work out anywhere, anytime.
Anywhere, anytime, with anybody, whether it's your puppy or your man or your lady or your child's.
So I kind of feel like these videos that you and Monique created and these custom workouts, along with your athletic background and then your passion for empowering people with the information and exercises that they can work out anywhere, anytime, dovetail nicely.
Yeah, definitely. We call it a movement-based movement. We're just trying to get the people
movement-based movement. I love
movement-based it. Movement-based movement, capital M-O-V, meant. Yeah.
Awesome.
Just trying to get people to move and be healthy. I mean, we're in this together. I mean, there's a lot of things that are happening in this current social climate around the world that are just depressing and distressing and potentially can take us out of the game with apathy. But we're all in this together. If you're not well, then you're not going to be able to make a contribution. So we're trying to get people to see longitudinally, how do you be well so that you can be a good caretaker for those coming behind you?
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
for
Marnie.
Coming. Is there anything else that you want to talk about?
I've got a couple different athletic campaigns coming out. We've got golf tournaments coming up in 2018. I'm also a voiceover artist, so I'm the voice of commercial campaigns and some animation things coming up. I think what people look at voiceover and they say, how does that fit into golf or fitness? Well, we talked about weaving stories and motivating consumers and constituents. That's what voiceover is. So you're telling a story to encourage someone to do something or to stop doing something or to go somewhere. And that's what I do when I coach people in fitness or golf. You know what I'm saying? So it all works out.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for
Thanks,
coming
Marnie.
Today.
This was fun. Marnie on the move.
Thank you.
On social,
Share.
You can find me Instagram and Twitter at Andia Winslow. On the web, AndiaWinslow.com. If you want voiceover, AndiaVoiceover.com. Facebook as well. And in the streets of New York and the streets of LA. Hope to see you.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
Okay. It's a wrap. Thanks so much for tuning in today. And please don't forget to check out the show notes for anything that we mentioned in the episode. Also, please subscribe to the podcast and follow us on social media. Instagram @MarnieSalop, Facebook, Marnie on the Move.